And then we're going to have a special right after I pray. Take your Bibles, turn to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 20. I'm going to read only four verses here, verses 12 through 15. 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 12 through 15. We're going to go ahead and read all the verses here responsibly. I'll read, then you read. And our text verse is number 15. Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. At that time, Beredodach Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. And Hezekiah hearkened unto them and showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment and all the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah, said unto him, What said these men? And from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, They are come from a far country, even from Babylon. And he said, What have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, All the things that are in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you tonight. We thank you for the preaching of your word. We thank you for this time we can come together, preach. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you give me clarity tonight. Give me strength. Give me thought. Anoint my lips this evening, fall on hearts this evening now, in Jesus' name, amen. We've got some girls going to come up and sing right now.
God is so good, God is so good. God is so good, he's so good to me. He died for me, he died for me. He died for me, he's so good to me. He answers prayer, he answers prayer. He answers prayer, he's so good to me. I love him so, I love him so, I love him so, he's so good to me. I'll do his will, I'll do his will, I'll do his will. He's so good to me. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. He's so good to me.
Amen. Good job, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. I love to hear our young people sing. I love to hear my teenagers sing at Faith Baptist, and I hope you enjoyed that. They asked me before, just before the message, can we sing tonight? They were practiced up, ready to go, so praise the Lord. Our text verse, of course, I mentioned before, in 2 Kings, number 15. I'm going to read it again. He said, What have they seen in thine house? That's my title tonight. Hezekiah answered, All the things that are in mine house have they seen. There's nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. And you know, I'm going to be very practical tonight. As a matter of fact, the jelly will be below the bottom shelf tonight. I got thinking a whole lot about the church this week. I had some time, of course, to think about that and so forth, and about our church here, and I'm very, very pleased about the direction our church is going. But just by way of introduction, let me just kind of build the foundation here, and then I'm just going to have, I hope, it won't be confusing to you. It was very hard, in a way, to get this message together for some reason. But I don't want to sound too random tonight, and I don't want to be confusing. But I hope it'll be a blessing to you. It's more practical. It's more maybe teaching. Someone said, hey, preacher, I'm already to amen tonight. Some probably were thinking I was going to come back and just bring the house down. I don't know. Maybe I can. I don't know. Maybe it'll happen. I'm not sure. But I actually want to be of help, and I always want to be. But of course, in 2 Kings 20, verses 1 through 11, the first part of this chapter deals with Hezekiah, a good king, one that loved the Lord. He is very ill here. Let me just read a few verses here, starting with verse 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him, and he said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Well, what a thought. You know, you think about it, here's a good king, and we see here that he is a good man. He loved the Lord. You'll see that in verse 3 in a moment. I'll read it. But he was very ill, and the request that he gets from the man of God, hey, you're going to die. You know, you better get things in order. You're going to go ahead and die. Verse number 2, then turned his face to the wall. He was very distraught and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, I beg thee, Lord, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. You know, he was very distraught. He didn't want to die. This tells me this is a man that loved life. He loved serving God, and I feel the same way. I love life. I love serving the Lord. I think, boy, I'd be distraught too if I ever had a report like that, that I was going to die within a certain time frame or so forth. I'd rather not have it announced in my life, if you will. But he loved life. And verse number 4, and it came to pass afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle of the court, that the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, turn again, and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee on the third day. Thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thy 15 years, and I will deliver thee in this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for mine sake and for my servant David's sake. Little foundation here. Isaiah the prophet came to him, told him he was going to die. Set thine house in order. We read that. Hezekiah distraught. He was very, very shook up about that. The Bible says he turned to the wall. He prayed. He reminded God of these things. He reminded him, of course, in verse 3 of the things that he had a perfect heart, that he served him. Bible says he wept sorely. He didn't want to die. Isaiah, just as he was getting ready to leave the premises, the Lord went in and prompted him. The Lord instructed him to turn back and tell Hezekiah these things. Hezekiah, you're going to get 15 more years. You know, Hezekiah, boy, I can imagine he was very excited at the 15 more years of life and faith and prayer and good living, all was a part of that. So much could be preached right here, but I want to zoom in into our text, verse number 12, or actually verse number 15, but let me read our text here again, starting with 12. And it came to pass, now, mind you, Hezekiah was sick. And the king of Babylon, okay, sent letters. He had heard about the sickness of Hezekiah, sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah, and he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. And Hezekiah hearkened unto them and showed them all the house of his precious things. I don't know whether it was the exact king. I don't know. I have a feeling the king of Babylon maybe sent some ambassadors or maybe some of his servants. I don't know. But the Bible says he sent some letters and a present unto Hezekiah, for some goodwill, if you will. Hezekiah hearkened unto them. Here they showed up to their house, his house, if you will, his palace, showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold, the spices, the precious ointment, and all the house of his armor, and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house, nor in all his dominion, that Hezekiah showed him not. So the Bible says that King Babylon heard that Hezekiah was sick. He sent him a gift and a letter. I think it's good to know. I want you to understand here, by way of introduction, I think it's good to know that Babylon and Judah, okay, this is the two countries here, Babylon and Judah, there are many, many differences, but one is worth noting here. They were very different in their religion. See, Babylon was idolatrous. Babylon would worship the sun. Babylon would go ahead and worship the moon. Babylon was very idolatrous, yet Hezekiah or Judah here, they believed in the God of heaven. So that tells me that Hezekiah, verse number 13, he welcomed these visitors from Babylon. Now, I want to say that it does not say that we ought to, he is not teaching you that we ought to rub shoulders with the world, but he showed kindness to someone who was kind to him. Okay, Hezekiah welcomed these visitors from Babylon who brought the letter. And Hezekiah, being a wealthy man, okay, and by the way, God blessed Hezekiah. He was wealthy because of God, if you will. And he showed these visitors all that was in the house. He didn't hold back anything. He gave them a grand tour of his palace. He hearkened unto them. He listened to them. He was hospitable. Now note that word hospitable tonight. He treated them as honored guests in the house. He showed them everything. He showed them his precious things, showed them his silver, showed them the gold, showed them the spices, precious ointment, all the house of his armor, all his treasure. The Bible says there was nothing held back, nothing in the house or in his dominion that he did not go ahead and show them. So Isaiah goes ahead and inquires of this and asks Hezekiah about the men, what happened and where they come from and so forth. And Hezekiah tells him what happened. And verse number 14, then came Isaiah the prophet unto the king Hezekiah and said unto him, what said these men, and from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country, even from Babylon. And he said, what have they seen in thy house? And Hezekiah answered, all the things that are in mine house were shown them. They saw. They saw everything. He didn't hold back anything. All the things in mine house have they seen. So the title of my message, what have they seen in thine house? As I mentioned before a moment ago, I got thinking a lot about the church. I got thinking about the house of God. Got thinking about our church this week. Jotted down several things. Again, I don't want to sound too random, but I thought it was very important for such a time as this evening service, to go ahead and preach on what have I seen in thy house. I will say I'm very pleased with what God has done the last year. I'm very excited about what God is going to do in the coming years. God has been, church, so good. He has been so good to us. When you go ahead and look at the blessings in the past year and, you know, all through the years from day one, but but in my time frame, God has been very, very good. We have seen it. I want us to consider that question. What have they seen in thine house? I want us to consider that in light of our church house this evening. And it should be a concern for every single one of us. Every child of God ought to be concerned about this. I want us to consider who we are in Christ and how we must treat other people. I'm primarily going to zoom in on how to treat the guests that come in through these doors each and every week. And by the way, almost weekly, we have some new faces. On a regular basis, we have new faces. We have some new faces here this morning. We have new faces on a regular basis. We ought to consider every guest a potential member. If we come to a church in such a way that we are stuck on ourselves and we're better than anybody else, you know what? People will get turned off by that. People get turned off if we think if we're just so stuffed and we're in our own little corners. You know, and tonight I want to basically teach you how to treat honored guests. You know, every new face that comes to this church is an honored guest. We ought to be right there for them. We ought to be shaking their hand. Their hand ought to hurt. Their arm ought to hurt by the time they leave this church. That's Christianity. We ought to meet their needs. We ought to be right there. I'm talking about honored guests this evening. I'm talking about people that regularly come through these doors. I'm talking about people from out of town. Maybe they are out of state. We had an out-of-state guest this morning from Maryland. And they went ahead and they were talking to me a little bit. I got to know them a little bit after the service, talked to them quite a little while. And they have a little son that they homeschool, and they traveled all the way from Maryland to go ahead and bring their little son and teach him about the pilgrims over in Plymouth. They're avid churchgoers. They are in a church like ours, and they knew they were going to be up here for today, for the first part of today, and they went ahead and they did a Google search, and they found our church on the internet, but they were still wondering, and I know how that can be. You travel across country, you wonder, am I going to find a church like ours? Sometimes, you know, it can all look good on the internet. It can all look on good in words, but sometimes you really wonder what you're going to get. And on the way out, talked to them a little while, they said, man, we were refreshed. This is just like home. And they went ahead and they said, I don't know what they meant by this. They said, it's just good to know that if we ever moved here, we have a church just like ours. You know what? They were excited about the King James Bible. They were excited about the preaching. I don't know why, but they were excited about the music. They were excited. They were beside themselves of what they heard. And again, sometimes you wonder, what you're going to get by browsing the internet, what kind of church you're going to find, but they were very, very excited. Our church people ought to present ourselves friendly, loving, and Christ-like. You know, we ought to, you know, I hope that whenever you see a new face, I hope that the new faces you saw here today, we had a pastor friend of mine, the Robles former pastor who lives out west, Western Mass in Holyoke, he pastors over there. No, is he going to come here to church? No, but we should have at least greeted him today. We should have gone ahead, at least been in his face, so to speak. You know what I'm talking about when I say that. Shook his hand, shook his wife's hand. We should have at least been there for them. We should have at least greeted the three, that family I talked about earlier. Hey, what I'm saying, when you see somebody that you're not used to seeing around here, well, you ought to get to them. You ought to shake their hand. You ought to greet them. Hey, we ought to be a friendly church. You know, we don't have to, you know, I know churches in the Northeast were pegged as being stuffy. We're not going to be stuffy here. Okay, we're pegged, you know, I know that even the Fundamental Bible-Believing Baptist Church, we're not that like down south. I mean, they could get excited about dirt flying in there, you know what I mean? They get excited and so forth, but the truth of the matter is, and that's fine, but and so forth, but you know what? I don't care if we're a Southern-type church. I'm not talking about Southern Baptist. You know, we can say amen, but we ought to be a friendly church. Boy, we ought to, every new face, if you don't recognize somebody, the moment they get in the parking lot, and don't go ahead and ignore them. If you get out of your car at the same time they get out of their car, you ought to rush right over there, say thank you, welcome to Faith Baptist Church. And you know, we ought to be known as a friendly church. We ought to be a refreshing church. We ought to be a Christian church. That means Christ-like. We ought to be present ourselves Christ-like, if you will. Our church ought to present ourselves friendly. I want our church to be known as friendly, yet high-spirited. I mean, we ought to have a good spirit, a good church spirit, and that was one thing. You know what? People that have come through visiting through the last year, most have said you have a good spirit here. There's a good spirit in our church. You know, and you knew from day one this preacher fights for the spirit. And I fight for the spirit. You know what? We don't need any gangs around here. We don't need any cliques around here, because the moment that I see that, I'll break it up. I'll have no problem doing that. You know, we ought not be so above ourselves that we cannot go ahead and greet the lowliest visitor here. Okay? And I'm kind of teaching you tonight, I know, but I want our church to be known as friendly. I want our church to be kind. I want our church, of course, be a church that always preaches truth. We'll never go ahead and waver from the truth of the Word of God. These honored guests of Hezekiah, they saw all. I want guests to come into this church. I want them to see everything, man. We have nothing to hide around here. I want them to know that what we stand on, I want them to know that we don't apologize for what we stand on. I want them to know that we're for standards. I want them to know that we sing the right music. I want them to know that we preach the right Bible. I want them to know everything about us, and we ought to be orderly. We ought to be have a good spirit. We ought to be greeting the guests. We ought to let everybody know there's nothing to hide here. There ought not be anything to hide. What do guests find at our church? Are we always busy? Okay, I want you to analyze yourself a minute here, church member. Are we always busy trying to put on a new self every Sunday? You know, then we do the rest of the week. Are you trying to go ahead and put on a fake self? Well, you know how you are with the rest of the week. I don't know. I don't follow you around. But you know what? Maybe you go around bickering and griping and complaining, yelling at the wife, yelling at the husband, yelling at the kids, doing maybe things that you know you ought not do. And come Sunday, you know what? You go ahead and become Mr. and Miss Spiritual. You know, you're dressed right. You look the part and so forth. Hey, you know what? Why don't you just live a Christian 7 days a week? You know, treat your wife with respect, treat your kids with respect, treat your husband with respect, love one another, and you know what? Don't go ahead and put on a facade when you get here. You know what? Be sincere when you come to church. You know, live the Word of God every single day of the week, and when you see new guests here, don't think, well, you know, I got to go ahead and put on my armor. I got to go ahead and put on, you know, your armor ought to be on every day of the week anyways. You know, put on the whole armor of God. It ought to be on all the time. And you ought to be a light that is so shining before men. People ought to know that you're different on the workplace and everything and so forth. I don't want to get off here. But you know what? The moment you get out of the car, that you come to church, man, people ought to see there's something different about you. People ought to see that there's a light about you and not just kind of a fake and so forth. You know. And I've seen it. You know, it's amazing. I alluded to it this morning. And people will go ahead, you know, husbands, wives will go ahead and fight each other and so forth 2 minutes before they go ahead and get in the parking lot. And then they come in. Hey, preacher, how you doing? You know, they look the part. But boy, you know what? We ought not be a fake. We ought to be sincere on who we are. Are we real to those who show up here? Do we live one way on Sunday and other ways the rest of the week? Therefore, coming in with really no sincere heart and welcoming other people. When people see you, do they know that you're a Christian? Can they tell by the way you walk? Can they tell by the way you talk? Can they tell by the way you dress? Can they tell by the way your attitude, by your language, by the music that you listen to? Can the world tell outside what God has done on the inside of you? I don't know about you, but when I got saved, hey, I got it. Amen. I'm saved. You know, I'm so saved tonight. It's pitiful. Amen. And I'm excited and I'm saved. And you know, and there ought to be a light about you. There ought to be something about you that somebody can see the light of Christ in you instead of the dark side. You know, and I don't understand how a Christian can have a dark side. Why would you want to, you know, men love darkness rather than light. Amen. I don't know why we want to go ahead and have one foot in the world and have one foot in the church or Christianity. I don't know why. I don't know why we want to go ahead and look the part one day of the week, but the rest of the day we live like the world. I don't understand that. But let me tell you something. We live that way. You know what? Your children will read through that. And let me tell you something. Guests will go ahead and read through that. They can read through that. Hey, I'm talking. Well, let's get back on our guests. I'm, you know, guests this evening. I want... You know, when I got saved, I got it. Our church should portray true and real Christianity. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. Why? Because there's been a great change since I've been born again. I want my walk to tell people that I'm saved. I want my talk to tell people that I'm a child of God. I want my dress to be such that people can tell that I've come out from among them and I'm separate. I want my words to be pleasant and edifying and not of gossip. I want my music to be pleasing to the Lord, not Petra and Carmen and Second Chapter of Acts and all the contemporary music out there. Hey, I want people who come and visit our church, but from all walks of life. I want them to know it's a real thing here. Hey, we're going to preach the real Christ here. We're going to preach the real truth here. We're going to preach the real Bible here. We're going to sing the songs of heaven here. Hey, that's what I want. I don't want American Idol look here. I don't want the drums up here. I want them to understand there's a good spirit here because we're trying to do things according to the Word of God. I want the world to see Christ in me. And let me just stop and say this before someone says, well, preacher's preaching lifestyle evangelism. Oh, no, I'm not. You know, as well as I do, I'm for door-to-door confrontational soul winning because it's all through the Bible. But let me tell you something. I do believe that a child of God ought to have some sort of desire inside them to let the outward show what God did on the inside. Amen. You know, our walk talks and our talk talks, but our walk talks louder than our talk talks. You know, people can tell. People can tell. You know, you may be able to fake it for a little while, but people tell you whether you're the real deal or not. People are going to be able to tell. God did something inside of me. Didn't he do that to you too? Hezekiah said, I showed all. I hid nothing. I do not think, let me just say this. Let me just stop and say this, Christian. I'm speaking to us right now. I'll get to some other points here in just a moment. But you know what? You may go ahead and have some sin that you're hiding. And you can hide it on your spouse. You can hide it on your kids. You can, you know, Hezekiah, listen, this is a lesson. Hezekiah didn't hold, he showed everything. He was ashamed of nothing. You can go ahead and hide anything that you want, but let me tell you something, God sees it. The very one that ought to be the most important, God sees it. You want to live immoral and you want to hide it on your wife, hide it on, you know what? You can hide it on everybody else. Eventually it'll catch up to you. Eventually your sin will find you out. Eventually you'll be exposed. Go ahead and play with sin long enough. It will be exposed. You'll be very embarrassed. But let me tell you something. You know what? God sees it. God sees that music, that rock music you're listening to that you're trying to hide under your, between your mattresses there, teenager. God goes ahead and sees it. You go ahead and hide it, but the truth of the matter is, you know, Hezekiah, a great king who loved the Lord, who lived a perfect, had a perfect heart, wanted to serve God, got 15 more years. You know, he hid nothing. He hid nothing. He was not ashamed. Let me tell you something. You know what? I'm afraid that maybe there's some in this room one day when we all face God and we will. Boy. What's going to come up? What's going to come? What kind of skeletons do you think that you've got hidden right now is going to come up? Been thinking about the church. Visitors ought to be treated as honored guests. Visitors ought to be treated the way we would want to be treated. You know, think back when you were looking for a church. Somewhere along the way, probably every single one of us was looking for a church sometime or another. What were you looking for? You know what? You know, obviously, if you're here tonight, you know, you wanted to find a church that was preaching the Word of God, that was singing the songs of Zion, that was preaching the truth of the Word of God. That's what you were looking for. And the truth of the matter is, it may be some of the guests that pop through, they may not be looking for this kind of church, but it doesn't matter who they are. You know what? We ought to be going, we ought to be cordial to them. We ought to reach out to them. We ought to shake their hand. You know what? I treat every guest, as I mentioned earlier, as a potential member. You know, it might be just the love that we go ahead and flow out of us, the love of Christ that flows out of us, that may say, you know what, I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that church. I want to be a part of that. Boy, we ought to let our guests feel welcome. We should, what should the guests find in our church? Okay, number one, they should find a people that are real and insincere. I talked a little bit about that. Hezekiah wasn't bashful. He wasn't ashamed of who he was. You know, we ought not be ashamed that we're a Christian, amen? We ought not be, like I said, we ought not be ashamed of who we are in Christ. He was one person. He was not one person before they came, and he didn't go ahead and dress up as somebody else when they got there. He was who he was. He was stable. He was grateful for a longer life. God gave him 15 more years. We ought to put on a sincere smile. You ought to be grateful about the life that God gives you as a Christian. You know, I think, boy, Hezekiah was very, very grateful here. He was very grateful. You know, 15 more years, he was going to die minutes before. Then later, just minutes later, Isaiah is commanded, go back in, tell him he's going to get 15 more years. You know what? I think he was ready to go ahead and run the aisles, run circles up and down, jump up and down. He probably got up out of his bed and yelled, praise the Lord, thank you for the 15 more years. And you know what? As a Christian, as a child of God who saved you from the pit of hell, who gave you a preserved word of God, who has done so much, we can't even get a holy grunt. Amen. You know, it's okay to say amen in a Baptist church. Amen. It's okay. You know, and if ladies, you don't want to go ahead and say amen, I've said it before, just wave yourself a little hanky. I know that you're in the spirit. Amen. You say, well, we're getting charismatic. Yeah, I'm a little Baptist-costal. It's okay. I'm just excited about Jesus tonight. Amen. But you know what? What should the guests find? They ought to find that we're real, that we're sincere. They ought to, number two, receive hospitality. Understand who we're in the people business. Okay, we're saved, but you know what? We deal with people here every Sunday. Okay, we deal with people on the weekend, soul winning. You deal with people all through the week. Your light ought to so shine. We ought to be understand that we are in the people business. The Bible says, we ought to give them hospitality. The Bible says in 1 Peter 4:9, use hospitality one to another without grudging. That word hospitable literally means a generous and cordial reception. Boy, you know what? Every new person that walks through them doors right there, they ought to get a generous and a cordial reception. They ought to receive a warm welcome. It should start right at the parking lot. They should see it neat, clean, and trimmed. I know it's a little dirty right now with all the snow and so forth, but you know what? You know how I am. I try to keep the grounds clean. Boy, they ought to look in and say, wow, from the outside, there's something going on, but when they get inside, there's nothing hid, and it is who we are. This is who we are. The preaching of the word of God and the spirit. We ought to keep our grounds clean. It should be a warm welcome once they hit the door. We ought to be watchful of new faces. Immediately go to them and welcome them. Cody, come up here. Where are you, Cody? Cody's a new visitor. About time you got in church, boy. Cody's a new visitor. We've never seen Cody before. Just pretend with me, okay? It's all right. We've never seen Cody before. I want to teach you. You know, I want to just kind of teach you how we ought to treat someone that we've never seen before in our church. You know what? If you're outside and they get in the parking lot, boy, you ought to run. Hey, man, good to see you. Hey, what's your name?
Cody.
Where are you from, Cody?
Carver.
Really? Okay, you ever been to Faith Baptist Church before?
Never.
No, okay, you're playing along. That's good. That's good. Yes. Never been to Faith Baptist Church before? Hey, you know what? Is this your son? Yeah, it's okay. Waking him up a little bit. You know, he's married now, okay? All right? But this is, what's his name?
George.
George, okay? George. And this is your wife? You know, but what I'm trying to say, you go right on down. Listen, it's okay, we can laugh, amen? You go right down. If they have a family, you ought to go ahead and you ought to meet their needs. You ought to go, hey, you know, well, I'm Pastor Lee. I'm so glad that you, hey, can I help you? Hey, you know what? Little George here, you know, he's 3 years old. Hey, we can take him to a class here. You got a little baby? We can help them to the nursery. You know what? If you have time, take him for the tour of our building. Show them things in our building and so forth. That's why we always ought to be prepared for our guests. You know, we ought not have any, and what I'm trying to say, we have nothing to hide here. That's why we keep our building clean, amen? You know what? We ought not be ashamed. Oh, the guests are here. Hey, you know, I'm sorry, this corner, my Sunday school room, it's a little bit cluttered and so forth. No, we ought to be orderly. We ought to be clean. We ought to, you know what? You never have a second chance to make a first impression. Okay, you understand that? And boy, we ought to be cordial. The moment that you see a guest, you ought to, hey man, it's so good to have you. Hey, you know what? And listen, if I'm the pastor here, if there's anything I can do, I'd be more than delighted to do that. You know, and I thank you for bringing your family. If it's a single guy, you know, you just play along with me. But the truth of the matter is the moment that you see a family, the moment that maybe you see a single guy, the moment that you see a new face, it may be a bus teenager, whatever the case may be, you ought to go ahead and kind of get in their face, say, man, I'm so glad that you're here. You know what? You know, we have about 70, 80 or so people here Sunday morning. Boy, it'd be good if a good bulk of the Sunday morning crowd that sets up here, you know what? It'd be good for you to go to them people. You know, we have a tendency to go ahead and go to the people who we like. You know, go to our friends, the handshake and time and so forth, and go to our friends and fellowship. And I'm not against that. But you know what? We have some potential friends that we need to make. Now, I'm talking about some new faces that come in, and instead of kind of getting in our little gang, so to speak, and I'm not saying that in the wrong way. I know it's easy to go ahead and set aside, but you know, when you see a new visitor here, boy, you ought to do everything you can, church member, to get to them, shake their hand, say, man, it's so good to have you at Faith Baptist Church. And you be the one. Let them hear this. You know, if there's anything, 100 times, they ought to hear it 100 times that they're here. If there's anything that I can do for you, let me know. Say, well, you know, you let the preacher know. No. Why don't you take it upon yourself and say, you know what? Hey, let me show you around a little bit. Hey, is there anything I can do for you? You know, I'm not opposed to that. You want to say the preacher, that's fine. That's what I'm here for. But the truth of the matter is, you ought to be a good Christian, and you ought to say, hey, you know what? You ought to be watchful, and you ought to go to that new visitor the moment that you see them and greet them. Maybe they're already sitting up. Thank you, Cody. I just want to illustrate. Thank you very much. Give them a hand. And but maybe you come in, you already see him here sitting down. This morning, we already had a young lady that's been coming with another new couple that's been coming for several weeks now. Let me ask you a question. The new couple that's been coming for several weeks now, have you talked to him? Have you talked to him? Have you literally, you gone over and you said, hey, what's your name? Hey, you know, I'm Brother So-and-so. Thank you for coming. Boy, I've noticed you've been here. I want to say thank you for coming to our church. Man, it's been a blessing. Hey, listen, is there anything I can do for you? Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah. And be sincere. Give him ear. Give him your ear. Okay? You know, yeah. Is this your wife? Yeah. Well, it's nice to meet you. And, you know, and be very cordial. You don't have to, I'm not saying you have to strike up a 25-minute conversation because it'll be church time at that time. Okay? But what I'm trying to say, have you met them yet? Have you met them? They brought their daughter today and a little boy. I think there was two kids. Did you meet them? Did you make it a point to go around to your regulars that you handshake during handshaking time and kind of bypass them? I try, normally what I do come handshaking time, I always, and some of you think, well, preacher must be stuck up today. No, I've shaken your hands 100 times, but I want to at least get to my visitors. You understand that. It's not that I don't love you any less. You know I love you. But the truth of the matter is they need to be loved too. You know, and we ought not just sit there and kind of, you know, well, I'm going to go find the regular, you know, and so forth. You know, I'll get on that in a moment. But the truth of the matter is, you ought to go to them and say, it's a joy to have you. Boy, it's a delight to have you here today. Thank you so much. You know what? And maybe if they come back a second time or even a third time, you know, it's not a bad idea for some of your key families, if you will, say, hey, you know what? Why don't you come over for lunch? It's a way of getting to know them. I'm trying to, you know, I don't want to hide anything here. We have nothing to hide. I want them to go ahead and see the joy that we have, a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. And I want them to see the joy of my Christianity, and I want to be able to go ahead and allow our guests to know that they're loved. Our guest, as I mentioned before, our guest should have our affection, our love, and our kindness. Our guest should have a worn-out arm, as I mentioned, by everyone by shaking their hand. The first sight of the visitor, go to them. If children, notice and help them. Find out, hey, what's your name? Yeah? Okay. Oh, you're 4 years old? You know who your teacher is. Let me point you. Hey, you come with me. I'll point you out. You know, you see Miss Vanessa back there? She's going to be a teacher later on. And by the way, maybe they won't go to Sunday school. If they want to sit with mom and daddy the first time, that's fine. But the truth of the matter is, you know, be folksy, if you will. Get to know them. Don't let a guest walk by without acknowledging them. You know, we've had some new faces here. Greet them. Have you greeted them? You say, you know, I've heard this before. I've taught this before, too, believe it or not. You say, I don't know them. Don't get me wrong. That sounds like something, I love you, teenager, but that sounds like something a teenager would say. You know? How are you going to get to know them? You know, the truth is, hey, listen, don't let a guest pass by. I don't know them. Go ahead and get to know them. Greet them. Our guests ought to walk away knowing that they were cared for and loved. You know, there's a couple here. Really a fine couple. They started coming 2 weeks after I came. They found us by way of internet. That's what they told me. And, you know, they're here faithfully, almost every Sunday morning. And I'm not going to embarrass them. They're not here tonight. But let me ask you a question. Have you got to know them? You know, it seems that we kind of have a certain criteria of who we want to greet. In other words, it kind of is like that we feel like that we're better. You know, the ground is level at the foot of the cross, man. You know, Jesus died for all. You know, Jesus, he won the Samaritan woman. You know, the Samaritans were outcasts. They're outcasts in society. And you know what Jesus says? I must needs go through Samaria. He was willing to go ahead and reach the unreachable. You know, there ought not be any criteria on who we greet. We won't go near a visitor because maybe they don't meet our standard. Well, let me tell you something. That's not right, church. Just because we see them smoking on the way into church, you know what? This is where they need to be. Just because maybe they said a word that, well, that just shouldn't be said around here. You know what? This is still the place they need to be. And we ought not be going around so holier than now that we're better than you, that during handshaking or during between services and so forth, that we're any better and that we just bypass it. But we ought to immediately go to them and say, man, it's good to see you. Thank you for coming to Faith Baptist Church. You know, we ought not have criteria on who we will greet. You know, where would you be had someone not reached you? You know, I thank God, you know, and again, I thank God consistently that we've had new faces coming through the doors of this church on a regular basis. No, not everybody's stuck. Not everybody will. But I thank God, you know what, but when you see consistent new blood coming through, it shows that we got something going on. It shows that God is really moving. And I praise the Lord for that. We need to be so careful that not to be so stuffy that we're not willing to go ahead and greet even the lowliest. Your criteria for anyone here or anywhere should be that they need to be loved. They need to be loved just like you needed to be loved. You know, they should see also holiness. You know, again, there should be nothing hidden. I don't go ahead and look out and say, let me see. I better trim my message a little. No, it is what it is. And we're going to preach holiness. We're going to preach separation. We're going to preach living right. We're going to preach the right music. We're going to preach the word of God without apology. And, you know, oftentimes I've heard stories. I have no idea because of somebody that showed up. They kind of knew a little bit about their background. They'll go ahead and I guess I better not cut out that statement. Guess you know what? Without it, we're going to preach holiness. You know, I'm not going to hide anything. But no, we ought not hide anything. You know, I'm not looking to build a church on the basis of trimming the Word of God. Okay, I'm not looking to do that. And again, you know what? It's obvious through the year that many people have liked what we do here. It's obvious that many people like the Word of God. It's obvious that many people like the preaching as it is the Word of God. It's very obvious. And you know what? They should see holiness. The Bible says, Psalm 93:5, thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Holiness should be portrayed. People ought to know who you are by the one whom you serve and who saved you. You should look different. You should act different. You know, some won't invite folks to church because they know the real you. That's why we don't get involved in the spring and fall program. You know, think about it now. You know what? We won't sometimes invite people because maybe we put on a facade that one day a week. The truth of the matter is, you know what? If we just live a Christian 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, you know what? People might just want what you got. You know what? They ought to see holiness. We're not going to hide that here. Our church will preach holiness. We ought not be ashamed of the kind of church that you're a part of. I'm not. Boy, I welcome you to Faith Baptist Church. Boy, the greatest church in Carver, Massachusetts. Greatest church in all the world as far as I'm concerned. Boy, they should see, and I got to move, they should see consistency. That is being the same every week. 15 years from now, what are we doing? The same. 25 years from now, I got to think how old I'll be. The same. 35 years from now, the same. And when someone steps in my place, the same. We ought to be consistent. We ought not be checking into the Bible of the Month Club or the song or the contemporary music of the Month Club. Boy, we ought to always emphasize the old way is the best way, the old time religion. Hey, you know what? They should see happiness. I got to keep moving. They should see happiness. The Bible says in Proverbs 17:1, better is a dry morsel in quietness therewith than in a house full of sacrifices with strife. Psalm 100, verses 1 and 2, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. You know, there should be happiness and joy here. You know, and again, that goes along with spirit and so forth. But I like it when people say they come in and boy, you know what? The preacher that was here today, my dad has said it all the time that my dad comes. Some of the new visitors out of town, I'm thinking of an out of town visitor that came last summer. They come through this way every summer. They wrote us a note, if you remember. I can't think of their name right off the top of our head. But they liked the spirit of our church so much that they were willing to write back and tell us about their experience. They said it was a good spirit. It was good attitudes. You know, I'm talking about our guests. You know, how often, you know, some of the new folks that have been here, boy, we like the spirit. You know, there ought to be a joy. There ought to be a happiness. You know, you're saved. Aren't you happy? You know, you're saved. We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Boy, we ought to get excited about that once in a while. Amen? You know, not just once in a while. Every single day, you know, the very fact that you don't have to die and go to hell, man. You know what? That's something exciting. That ought to bless your gizzard. I know you don't like that, but it blesses my gizzard. I am a turkey at times, amen? It's part of turkey, okay? It's all right. Okay, I'm glad we can laugh. Don't walk around all gloomy. You know, I have to even watch out for myself, but, you know, how you doing?
Fine.
So, you know, what's going on?
Nothing.
You know, man, live it. I'm sorry. I'm going to love you. I'm going to shake your hand, but I'm going to go find somebody that's excited. I mean, you know what I mean? You know, listen, I'm not belittling the pressures out there. I know some of you are going through them. I preached about that this morning. I know you're going through some tough times. But, you know, my desire as your pastor is I hope this. I hope that when you walk through these doors every Sunday and every Wednesday, that just for a little while, you can leave your problems, you can leave your burdens, you can kind of leave them outside the door, or obviously bring them to the altar, but literally, you know, you know what I'm saying, leave them outside the door. And I hope that this is just a little island, if you will, of some joy and peace and a good spirit where people love one another, Or, you know, I don't know about you, but you know what? When I come to church here every single week, and I've been in churches, man. I've been in churches. I've been in churches where you can just cut the air with a knife, man. You know, and I tell you what, and let me tell you something. As a preacher, been in the ministry almost 11 years, I say there's something not right here. You know, if you can go ahead and go into a church and you cut the air with a knife, something's not right. I'm sorry. You know, we ought not go around gloomy. You know, you're saved. You're on your way to heaven. You're going to get a mansion one day. You know, and let me just stop and say this. If you're not saved tonight, man, get saved. You know, in church tonight, later on, come on down here. You don't have to die and go to hell. You know, the hell was created for the devil and his angels. It wasn't created for you. You know, you could become a child of God tonight. Your name could be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, written in ink, and it can't be erased. You can be written in that Lamb's Book of Life forever, and God can say to you, well done, thou good servant. God can go ahead and say to you, you're my child. Hey, you could become a child of God tonight. You know, they ought to see happiness. They ought to see a good harmony. We ought to be in order. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:40, let all things be done decently in order. We ought to be in one accord. We ought to be working with the preacher, not against him. You know, I've said many times, if Jesus would walk through them doors and say, Sean, you pastored long enough, set aside, I'm going to pastor, I let him do it. He could do a whole lot better than I can. You know, he left pastors to pastor his work. He left us to go ahead and pastor his work, pastors to lead his church. But, you know, so much disharmony can be caused, and maybe some of the, like I mentioned a moment ago, in some of the churches, some of the air that can be cut like a knife, it's some of it's simply because they're criticizing the preacher. They're criticizing the preacher. They're criticizing the authority. But God's rule of authority is found here in the Bible. We're going to follow exactly what the Bible says. You know, everything in the house here, I'm talking about Hezekiah, the guests saw things in order. Everything in this house, our guests ought to see things in order. People in harmony with the program of the church laid out by the preacher. Your class, Sunday school teacher, ought to be in order. You know, you ought to be starting the time that you're dismissed. Some days I know it's limited, but you know, you ought to have things laid out. You ought to be prepared. Let me say it again, you ought to be prepared. I'm not saying 8:45 Sunday morning. An hour before you step up to your kids and to your Sunday school class ought to be mean more than that. You ought to be praying for that class. You'll be preparing for your class tonight. You ought to be prepared for your class. Have things all laid out. Fill out the rosters. You know, one reason why I went them rosters so that you can see the names of your kids so that you can go ahead and pray for them. I don't want just a number. You know, go through and see who is there and who's not there and visit your absentees or be in contact with them. Your bus route ought to be orderly. Fill out the forms. Know your children's names. Know your children's addresses. The puppet ministry, the teenagers, the soul winning ought to be in order. When you're out soul winning, write down the names of prospects. You know, we can't follow up very, you know, praise the Lord. You come and say, hey, preacher, I saw someone saved. Hey, do you have a name? No. I think, yeah, you know, but I can get it. You know, hey, we need to do things decent in order. Every ministry of the church should be in order. That's why I like to start on time. I strive hard to start right on time. We ought to be prepared for the opening so that guests can see that we're orderly. Hey, I don't want anything to be hidden here. We ought to have a good spirit, good attitude. And then they ought to see friendliness. Bottom line, we ought to be friendly. Hezekiah, when these men came, the Bible says in verse number 13, he hearkened unto them. You know, that tells me, yes, there was differences. In the many people that walk through our doors, there's going to be differences. They may smell a little different. They may do things differently. They may they don't necessarily know the order. They may kind of move around a little bit. And instead of being critical about it, go ahead and greet them. I know. You know, but when it comes time for preaching, I think we ought to stay in our place. Boy, we ought to do all that business before church. Amen. You know, but when it comes time for preaching, and I understand kids and different, I understand that. Don't misunderand that. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? We get very intolerant when someone, a new visitor, may have to get up and go use a restroom or step outside the door or whatever. We ought not be that way. We ought not be, you know, no, preacher, did you see how many times they moved? I wasn't counting. You should have been counting either. Should have been listening to preaching. All right, I guess I got to move on. But we need to be friendly. Hezekiah proved his friendliness. Ultimately, what is our goal here? We want to reach people. We're in the people business. We're in the soul-winning business. If we do not have it together, people and visitors will leave here with a bad taste in their mouths. I'm not necessarily saying the preaching and different things. You know what? But I'm talking about order. If we just, you know, if I didn't get up with this order of service, just, well, you know, see, turn into 100, hey, figure it out back there. And, you know, let me tell you something. We ought to be more first class than that. I'm not saying I'm the best in order. Don't misunderstand. I'm not the best. But you know what? We're going to do the best we can. I want people to come and see that we love one another. We have good spirit. We love them. We ought to greet one another. Boy, let me just, if anything tonight, church, just like Hezekiah with his guests, you know what? Nothing should be hidden. Nothing should be hidden. Have they seen, what have they seen in thine house? You know what I want guests to see, and I want them to see everything. And as I've heard testimony after testimony, boy, you got a good spirit. It's a good attitude. Thank you for that message. Altars were filled. Kids are getting saved. People's lives are being changed. Families are being reached. That's what it is all about. Be a people person. You say, that's not me, then change. It's funny, you know, you be a people person with all the friends you want to have over to your house. Amen. You know, change. We can change that. And I'm not saying you have to sit down and have a whole long conversation, but we can at least say, hi, thanks for coming. It's not too hard. Hezekiah had guests stop by. He showed them everything. Yeah, they were different. Matter of fact, these men that came, they were a different religion. I mentioned earlier, they worshiped the sun, moon. They were idolatrous. Just tells me there's never a time to be unkind. You just never know who you might reach through your testimony. What if Hezekiah said, hey, you know what? No. Hold it. I serve the King of Kings. Get out of my house. You know what? He wasn't going to reach them one bit. And we'll have all walks of life come through here. Unsaved, many, 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 many walks of life. And you know what? We'll see more of it. We're going to be starting a couple new bus routes. You'll see more of it. You'll see some young people come in here. I just don't think they should act that way. Be patient with them. They need to be taught. You know, I mean, we didn't, you know, we go around with this know-it-all attitude. You didn't know it all overnight, I tell you what. And by the way, we'll never know it all. We should never get to a point where we've arrived. And I'm trying to say we ought to love one another. Love one another here, our own people, those that are faithful every week. But you know what? When you see someone step out of that car and you've never seen them before, you ought to go to them and say, man, it's good to see you. And you want to send them to me, that's fine, or my wife, that's fine. We'll go ahead and help them. But you know what? You ought to step up and say, hey, can I do anything for you? Uh-huh. Lovely family here. And mean it. It's okay. Yeah, I have to say that. You know, Christians, we ought to mean it. Boy, you have a lovely family. Hey, can I do anything for you? Hey, can I help show your kids to their Sunday school classes? Can I take you a tour? We've got a few minutes before the service. Can I show you around? Hezekiah was willing to open everything. He was kind. After they left, the man of God, Isaiah, inquired about the men. What have they seen in thy house? Hezekiah said, all the things in my house they've seen. And I want our guests to see it all. Our guests ought to see the real you. They ought to see the real you. That's where I started tonight. They ought to first of all see the real you, see your sincerity. But all these other little things, see our friendliness that comes with being sincere. See our hospitality. See our helpfulness. See it all. Boy, we need to be diligent and mindful and be helping one another. Be helping our guests. You know, spring program's coming up. It's a little bit later this year simply because I wanted to make it so the Walkers, Kevin Walker and his family, will close out our spring program. And I wasn't going to have like 15 weeks. Normally I would start at about this time. I don't want to have like 15 weeks of a spring program. Some of you will be so tired by the time the Walkers come, they, you know, you may not even show up by then. So I will have a span of time there where we need to reach people. You know, that's one thing we're doing in pre-spring program is getting these bus routes up in order. We need to work on our Plymouth route more. We need to work on, we're going to be sending the van, as I mentioned this morning, to Taunton. We're going to be sending the minibus over to Wareham. And again, I want you to be praying about that. We're going to get some new people in. And I want you to live in such a way, church. Listen, you know, I said it earlier. You know, maybe some people won't come to church simply because of our testimony. You got religion? That's what it is. I really don't want it. You know, the truth of the matter is I want us to live in such a way, and we ought to live in such a way, and be real about it, that when you ask somebody, hey, would you come to church during the spring program or sometime, whenever? You know, we got a contest. We got things going on. We got, you know, would you come to church? You know, I would like to have you come to church with me. And live in such a way that they'll respond, yeah, I want to go. I want to say, you know, I've heard the stuff going on. I want to go down there to Faith Baptist Church. Hey, you know what? There's a lot of things going on. New faces. Hey, let me just say this. If they're here Wednesday night, I don't know if there'll be a new face here Wednesday night. Go meet them. Tucker that person out. I don't mean that in a bad way. You know, because I promise you, once they leave, they're going to say, wow, that is a loving church. Isn't that what church ought to be? It's what church used to be. You know, this church the way it used to be, amen? No, it's just not changing. But you know what? You know, I've been in some great churches through the years that man, you know what? My arm literally, whoa, you know, and I was just a passerby. You know, I went out there. I was more tuckered than the preacher. Because their whole church family just met me and greeted me, my family, different things, and I'd go ahead and leave. Wow. And you know what? Every time I go to a church like that, I say, you know what? Especially pre-pastoring, I say, if I ever pastor a church, I want it to be like that. I want to be Christ-like. I want to be friendly. I've rambled on enough. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just spoke from the heart tonight. God, I just preach what you laid on my heart to my church people, kind of a message that I needed. I pray, dear God, that we will be mindful of other people. I pray, God, that we'll be cordial to other people. I pray that we'll notice the new faces that come by, even the new faces that have been here a while that we have just not, for some reason, gone to greet. I pray, dear God, that we'd be friendly, be kind, be loving, have a good spirit, not be so stuffy and be stuck on ourselves that we're better than anybody else. I pray, dear God, that we'll be the kind of church that you want us to be. And that's exactly how we should be. I know that is. That's being Christ-like. Now, Lord, I pray you to bless. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. I kind of maybe was a little random tonight. I think you got the thought, you got the message and how we should love one another. But maybe tonight, church member, maybe tonight, teenager or child or whatever, you could step up a little bit. Maybe there's some things in your life that maybe you have been a little ignorant to others. I don't know. Maybe you can step up and greet one another and be more careful of that, whatever the case may be. Maybe there's some areas in your life you need to tweak. I don't know. I'm not really sure how to give an invitation tonight. But if God spoke to your heart in some way at the music when it plays in a moment, won't you go ahead and do business with God? Let your light so shine before men that people know there's a difference about you. Proclaim Jesus and let people know what's going on at Faith Baptist Church and bring somebody to church next week. Amen. Brother Joe, won't you come up and close us in prayer?
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this church, Lord. We thank you for our pastor and his family, Lord, that you've sent to us, Lord. I thank you for the sweet spirit that we have here, Lord. And I pray that you let that sweet spirit continue, Father, and let every visitor that comes to our doors here see that, Lord. And pray that you just help us to truly welcome each person, Lord. And I pray that it be for your glory, Lord. And we love you. Pray that you just be with each and every person here, Lord, as we go about our week and just bring us back safely to your house. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.